something crackling. What are you doing?
Tis a juniper.
Not a cedar.
Never a cedar.
Don't even know her. You have ruined these things for me because every time I see somebody pull out like a selenite and they're like, this is a selenite and it's good for blah, blah, blah. I'm like, that's not a selenite. It's not a selenite. You were lied to.
I know, it sucks. Hey, yes. How was your long weekend? Man, what all did y'all do?
I completely rearranged one of the rooms because I've this big grand idea that I'm changing it from the dining room that we never use. Never, mm-hmm. not twice, have used. And I'm making it a conservatory. And I have a plan to, that's where I will grow my seeds. But it's also where I'm going to keep my sea monkeys.
Oh, what
about you?
We don't really use the dining room area either. I mean, I use it for like utilitarian purposes sometimes. Like I need to sit there for something, yeah. But we don't usually use it for dining. But that's also like one of the only rooms that gets sunlight in the house, that gets really like actual sunlight that comes through. And so I want to get like some big like pipe type shelves and put them in front of those windows and just load them with plants. So the dining room is also going to become like a conservatory.
Same wavelength, bruh. It's a simulation. Crazy. Like how different could things be?
Oh.
We're on the same save file. I have been checking out some of those peel and stick wallpapers. Mm-hmm. I have been in love with dark florals recently. And there are some people who make stuff on Etsy. See, my words are getting jumbled because it will blow your mind. It's so pretty. They're so pretty. And they're so like, what's the word? I want to say tacky. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Like maybe a touch garish, but in a good way.
Yeah, it's a statement. And I'm looking at some of those to put in that room. And I'm very excited about it. I'm glad wallpaper is coming back.
Yeah, I like that. Something is in the air about renovation. I'm redoing the bedroom. Honestly, it was just a busy weekend. I'm tired as hell. Nonstop all weekend. Like we went hiking on Saturday. And then, like, yesterday, just cleaned up, did some baking. Like, Lara and me did a photo shoot. Or she took my pictures yesterday, and I took hers today. And that was a lot of work, because we had to go traipsing all through the woods. And, yeah, she made me look like a fairy queen, dude. You won't even believe the photos. I don't even believe the photos. Oh, it's ridiculous.
How fun.
So that was my weekend.
Man, I want to come do a photo shoot.
I want you to come do a photo shoot. I want you to come do a photo shoot so bad. Lyra wants you to, too. She was like, hopefully maybe by October y'all can, and we can do like a spooky ghoul shoot, and she can do that special effects makeup, dude, and she can make us both dead.
I want to look dead AF. I think we should take some time to do something that we have not done, I believe, for the past 2 episodes because we get so excited and we just skipped over it. Patreon shout out segment. So
we suck.
These last 3 episodes, I guess, are all dedicated to Herinia Hope.
What a beautiful name. Herinia?
Yes. Herinia Hope. And I hope that that's correct. Herinia Hope. Herinia, Herinia, do 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 do.
What song is that? Oh God!
Forever,
don't answer that.
Whatever.
Oh. No. That's great though.
My breasts are small and humble. Oh God! I don't know how I feel.
What is it? Not big like mountains, or whatever she says.
No, Mace, so you don't confuse them.
Yeah. That's right. How could I forget?
Oh, man. All right. Well, Herinia, thank you so much for being very patient with us.
Herinia! Herinia! Oh, am not that thing, my dear.
But there, my dear. I love how you and I both say dear.
Dear. We have, for real this time, I think. Listen, I think for real, maybe.
Whoa.
The last Mad yes. Lib in this book.
For real? Are you sure?
No.
Okay. False alarm two. That's all right.
Yeah, I'm already wrong. I found a couple more. Never mind. This book's never going to end, but I'll give you some fucking options.
Nope.
All right. How to hatch a dragon egg. Monster bones.
Oh.
And riddle of the sphinx.
Slam me. Jam me up with those monster bones.
All right. I was hoping for that one. I don't know why, but I was just feeling it.
Yay.
Person in room, female.
Shakira.
You know what? She was here with us. Occupation.
Oh, no. Not plural. Just one occupation.
Not plural. Just one job holder.
Fart wrangler. It's a very important gig. Don't knock it.
I'm not. No way. It sounds heavy, heavy. Very important. A noun.
Double-sided dildo. For a second, I was struggling if whether or not I could say dildo because the children might be listening.
Okay.
But I remembered who we are.
Yeah, I was fixing to say, have you heard anything that we've said ever?
What if this is your first time tuning in, though?
Like, yeah, you get a Mad Libs that's just like, cunt.
And that's my place.
Yes, okay. All right. It's funny, but I'm not even going to tell you why. It's great. Okay, that's really great. All right, number.
God. Number. Anything divided by zero.
Plural noun.
Boobies.
Another plural noun.
Used panties.
Panties.
And you have to stress the word panties.
Panties. Number.
A whole ass one.
Adjective.
Soggy.
Verb past tense.
Past tense verb. Okay. Climaxed.
Animal.
What's that horse that we've talked about that you summon? You summon a horse as your familiar and he just stomps around the room. Let's do him.
I don't know. I don't know what's called. We never named him.
A summoned horse.
Summoned horse. All right. Did I tell you that you need to do another adjective?
Pervy.
Oh. Noun.
A fresh pair of JNCO jeans. A fresh pair of JNCO jeans. You know what JNCO jeans are.
Whatever a fresh pair of JNCO jeans are, we now need a part of the body.
As soon as you see JNCO jeans, you're going to be like, oh. And then that'll be it. A part of the body. Mons pubis.
I'm a mons pusher.
Oh.
Noun.
I'm trying to think, but all just keeps popping into my head is severed pinky toe. A severed pinky toe. All severed right. pinky toe.
Okay, got it.
I'm having some kind of breakdown, but
adjective.
Penetrate. Wait. That's not an adjective, hold on.
That's a good one, though.
Damn it. Crusty.
And lastly, plural noun.
Oh, fuck. Okay, I was hoping I could use penetrate.
Penetrate.
I was so proud.
We could trade out a verb for it if you so wish.
What verbs do we have?
One. Climaxed was our one verb.
I'm going to leave that up to the reader, because you can see the surrounding words.
I think I'm going to switch it.
Okay, I think you should. I'm glad we've come to this cheaty decision.
Yeah, because this one's better. plural noun.
multiple clones of Jermaine Clement.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine if he was like the Meeseeks?
Just kind of really dry and depressed. Existence is pain.
It's pain. I love how anyone in New Zealand has to have a really high-pitched voice when you do their New Zealand accent.
Listen, I felt like existence was pretty tight, but pain, maybe not.
All right, buckle up. I think this is going to be a really rough Mad Lib.
Oh, no, I'm ready.
Okay.
You're getting ready to present.
Dr. Shakira.
Yeah.
The world's leading crypto fart wrangler asserts.
I'm a child.
Asserts that there isn't a double-sided dildo of proof that fabled Cyclops ever existed in the cunt.
Sure, Shakira.
Oh, that really cracks me up, too, because Cyclops is another word for penis, and that just goes together really well.
There has never been a double-sided dildo of proof.
Okay, we have a quote. Dr. Shakira is speaking.
Thank God.
For more than anything but 0 years, she said. For more than anything but 0 years, she said, boobies have brought me what they were certain were used panties belonging to the whole ass one-eyed beasts.
Give me a replay. Oh, one more time.
Dr. Shakira says, for more than anything but 0 years, she said, boobies have brought me what they were certain were used panties belonging to the whole ass one-eyed beasts, but they were all soggy.
Okay.
Oh, what they had penetrated were in fact ordinary summoned horse skulls.
No.
Oh. It was a lubed up enough mistake considering that each one had a pervy hole.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Each one had a pervy hole at the center where the living animal's fresh pair of Janko jeans would be. Oh.
Oh, sorry.
A fresh pair of Janko jeans would be the same size and position as a Cyclops Mons pubis socket.
Jesus.
End quote. The scholar wants nothing more than to put the severed pinky toe to rest once and for all.
Gross.
I have crusty work to do, Dr. Shakira says.
I feel like Dr. Shakira is having some kind of problem.
I have crusty work to do, she says. I can't spend all day teaching elephant anatomy to multiple clones of Jermaine Clement.
She's lost her mind. Oh. This whole thing was a fever dream by Dr. Shakira. Can you imagine trying to teach multiple clones of Jermaine Clement?
Multiple. Multiple. I feel like they would all want to be doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
You have to wrangle them all together.
Yep. Looking bored.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You get an eye roll in there somewhere.
I'm afraid to ask, but what are we talking about today?
I'm talking to you about Grains of Paradise.
I am so excited about that. Sorry, I know that sounded really disingenuous.
But it did.
I'm switching it up a little bit this time around. It's been a hard...
It's been.
I know. I know. It's been a hard past 24 weeks, but particularly this past week has, I don't know, it's just felt different to me. I don't know if anybody else feels like that out there. I've had a little bit of a rough time, and I kind of wanted to just shake the dust off and talk about something fun and switch it up a bit. You know, when you're feeling stale and stagnant mm-hmm. and kind of crappy, it's like, ah, I'm going to do something different. So I'm not really talking about the normal stuff. I just want to talk about prosperity, prosperity magic, money magic. And I've written up a little spell at the end, and writing spells always makes me feel a little bit better. So,
oh yeah,
I know I already said it. I'm just super pumped to hear about Grains of Paradise. I'm very excited about it. One of my recipes from my Elder Scrolls Tamriel cookbook called for Grains of Paradise. So I feel like this is already starting off from a really fantastical place.
And that would make sense. I'll get to tell you why here in a little bit, why Ooh. It would make sense that it would be in that game. So Grains of Paradise is actually in the ginger family.
Hmm.
In the Zingiberaceae.
Zingiberry?
Zingiberaceae.
Oh.
From what I could tell.
Cool.
Zingiberry.
Zingiberry.
And it's closely related to cardamom.
Mm.
Its seeds are used as a spice, ground or whole, and it has a really strong black pepper flavor. And I saw some places with like kind of a hint of citrus or like kind of like a something else to it. I've got names for you. So it's commonly known as Grains of Paradise, but also alligator pepper, guinea grains, paradise grains, and paradise nuts.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. The winner there has got to be paradise nuts.
Paradise nuts. I love them. So guinea pepper I saw is another thing that they will be called, but technically it seems that specifically should be applied to grains of Salim, which is like a different thing.
Salim Shady.
Please, stand up.
We're going to have a problem here.
So the grains themselves grow in these kind of, they're like these little fig-like seed pods. And they hold a whole bunch of the grains in them. And the pods themselves are like 5 to 7 centimeters. And inside of them is kind of like that jelly, figgy kind of stuff. They're like the grains are suspended in that like
gross,
you know, the squishy, fluidy stuff.
Ew.
So the flowers, which precede the seed pods, they're kind of these trumpety shaped orange flowers. They're cute. And then the little figgy pods come after them. Grains of Paradise, they are a perennial and they grow about 4 to 5 feet tall. So they get pretty on up there. And they're kind of reedy, which explains some of the height. And they like a swampy environment. They like a good kind of marshy kind of situation.
Gross.
Why is that gross?
I don't know. Everything about it so far is kind of gross. It's in this weird jelly, grows up in a
it's
swamp.
It's just a seed pod.
Nah.
It's a really common cooking spice, especially in northern and western Africa, which is where it's native to, which also led to the name the Pepper Coast or the Grain Coast, because it, especially back in the day, and I'll get to it in a little bit on here in a second, Grains of Paradise were a big deal back in the day. Like they were a very sought after spice. They were very desired. So them and their popularity led to the name Grain Coast or Pepper Coast as to where they grew. This is from healthbenefitstimes.com. And I'm just going to read this directly because I thought it was an interesting piece of history. So Grains of Paradise are native to the coastal areas of Africa's Gulf of Guinea, which includes today's countries of Liberia, Ivory Coast, Togo, Nigeria, and Cameroon, where Grains of Paradise have a long-standing record of ethnobotanical use. Before the spice trade routes from Western Europe to the East Indies were established, a lively trade of grains of paradise, cubeb, and long peppers existed.
Long.
Oceanic travels to the Spice Islands by the Portuguese, Dutch, and English in the 17th century diminished the value and importance of grains of paradise in face of competition of black pepper, clove, mace, and nutmeg.
Hmm.
So pretty much as the spice trade widened, there were other things, like you had actually black pepper, you know, other spices, clove, nutmeg, things like that to come in. And it wasn't, you know, the main dude on campus. It's pretty frequently used in African cuisine as well as in African folk medicine. However, in North America, it's not really used nearly as much in, you know, just like a practical everyday kind of sense like that. Like it's cooked with very commonly in African cuisine. It's a very good spice. However, it's just kind of overlooked here. It's not used very, you know, of course it's not native here, which, you know, can impact that, but it's just not like looked at as much, you know, as some other spices. It is, however, used in increasing popularity, which has kind of brought a boom of grains of paradise to North America in the craft brewing industry. So apparently they make a good flavor to craft beer, like a peppery kind of pungent-y, earthy kind of flavor in craft beers. And they've really grown in popularity because of that. Yeah, it sounds nice. It has natural astringent properties. It's really high in tannins, so it can make for a really good wound cleaner. The seeds either can be ground up and added to like brews or like a poultice. To clean up the wound and help prevent infection and just keep it clean. The inclusion of gingerol helps to make this an anti-inflammatory, and it's also an antioxidant. It has these phytonutrients such as terpenoids, alkaloids, flavonoids, tannins, cardiac glycosides, saponin, and phenolic compounds. I don't know what all of those are. However, from what I could read on the internet is that these phytonutrients help locate free radicals and can therefore help kind of protect your body from baddies.
Whoa.
Along with those other things, it has anti-parasitic benefits. So it has long been used in folk medicine for generations as a remedy for intestinal worms.
Ew, cool.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought. I was like, man, that would be like good to know how to deal with that, yeah. You know? So I saw all over the place. It didn't matter where I was, all over the place, that it can be a pretty sturdy aphrodisiac.
Oh.
And it is also noted to have a stimulant nature. So maybe that goes into that. I'm not sure. It's a little bit of a little horny. Yeah, there's some sex magic capabilities with it.
Spicy.
Oh. One of the big areas, though, that grains of paradise can be used in the metaphysical sense is with luck, or better yet, like good fortune. You know, this can be in finding a job or in gambling. Good fortune in love, perhaps, like if you're looking for, you know, a faithful relationship or whatever it is that you're looking for in a relationship. Look, good fortune in those areas. Its use is quite versatile. It can be used in its whole grain form, ground down, even chewed. I'll get to that in a minute. So, of course, it is an herb that comes from the northern or western parts of Africa. Therefore, it is ingrained in hoodoo, voodoo, and Santeria. So that knowledge and those uses, you know, the folk magic, folk medicines traveled. It has its influences in types of conjure work. It's always important to respect that, the heritage around it, you know, the traditional uses and kind of its history and all of those practices. It's really, you know, interesting just to read up on and learn about just from a historical aspect and also just cultural uses of it. I don't feel particularly comfortable doing like the hoodoo spells, but yeah. It's neat to know about them. Like, you know, it had a lot of uses like with red flannel and tying it up, you know, for protection and things like that. So while I don't really feel comfortable practicing them in that way, it's just interesting to learn about. If you're not going through those specific types of spell work and those deities and that kind of thing, that's okay. It's still a plant and it's still something that the earth has grown. And I think that it still has power and it can be used in just different ways that feel comfortable to your practice. And
right.
Get some that's sustainably sourced.
Can do, man.
Can do.
Why are there so many Mr. Meeseeks?
I don't know.
Why is he coming through so hard this episode?
I don't know. So you can add grains of paradise to charm bags for protection, especially when, if you want to like put it by a certain door in your entrance or perhaps like your bedroom door, it can be ground and added into protection powders, which I have done, as well as ground and added to a floor wash for protection, along with the good fortune. So you kind of have that protective energy and like kind of bring it in and be like, hey, good fortune, like. Come over here, and it just like draws it in.
Hey, good fortune. Good to meet you.
Hey, what's your name? Oh, good fortune. Oh, so.
Hey, good fortune. I've heard you like a discount. Come to my place. We're closer 50% off.
So it's about to be cleaning season. And for me, I like what cleaning season means to me is I can open all of my windows and air my house out entirely and it's still cool. Like it's nice, I can air my house out and it's not like a swamp when I'm over.
Oh, yeah.
And if we're coming up on that and considering just the bullshit of this year, the whole
What are you
year,
talking about, Mace?
I'm excited to grind some up, add it to a floor wash to use in the house, like do a deep clean and bring in some good fucking fortune, hopefully. And that sounds nice.
And maybe if every single person in every single house does the same, things will get better. Just all over.
Well, and to pounce off that, the beauty of it is that it seems to be like pretty fast acting. It's something to use like for when you need a quick turnaround, like, spell work, matters of upturning fortune, kind of when you're needing some speedier results, some more like short term stuff. Or traditionally in hoodoo, I saw that there's the practice of spitting the grains out at a bank, a courthouse, or a potential place of employment to encourage success in those areas. I just really liked that. I just thought that was really interesting. So for aphrodisiac purposes, one of the most common ways is that you can just ingest it. Like from what I could tell, and of course there's like our disclaimer, please don't let your cat suck on it and don't die. Just look it up. However,
that's what you can boil our disclaimer down to is don't die.
Don't die. It seems for the most part very harmless, like just like a spice, like a cooking spice, like ginger or pepper or anything like that. And so adding it to the dishes can kind of bring out its aphrodisiac nature. You can chew it, where it also has kind of a stimulant nature. And some people can just like, you can chew it for a little bit of a awareness, kind of to stay awake.
I thought you were going to say chew it for like an instant boner.
Oh, instant.
Guaranteed. That's a wabah promise.
Oh. So it can also be put under the bed in like a little sexy herb mixture or like a sexy charm bag, whatever you want to do to encourage sexy time. You can just kind of do whatever you want and bring in the good fortune, like the good luck. Get lucky. Lucky?
Yeah.
This is the last bit. So I don't know. I think we could all go for a bit of good fortune here. And what kind of this year is just kind of thrown nonstop disappointment. So it seemed like a good topic, something that's versatile. It can be eaten or it could be like cooked with, used in protection work, used in sex magic, good fortune, things like that. Pretty versatile. And it seems like it could be used, very personally, however you feel comfortable using it, however you like to. It has options, which I like. And we could just all use some goddamn good fortune.
Ain't that the truth? Mm. I like that very much. I'm going to have to get my hands on some.
Oh.
Chew it. Wake my ass up in the morning.
Every morning with some.
Every morning there's some grains of paradise. I think that, once again, we're coming out of the same save file here because Again, I'm talking prosperity. And that was sort of my lead-in point there, is that things have not been great. I think even if not personally, then just collectively the past, what is it, 27, 20, whatever weeks, it's that, oh, I caught myself, that it has been, you know, it's just, it's not a fun time. So I want to goof off a little, well, not goof off. I can already hear somebody being like, you should never goof off when it comes to magic. That's not what I'm saying. But to pounce off of your point there, everyone could use a little good fortune right now. Everyone, I think, could always use a little bit of prosperity. And the first thing I want to talk about here is, before anybody gets their ass chapped about it, I'm not talking about greediness. I'm not talking about prosperity in a money, money, gimme money, gimme money kind of way. And it shouldn't be about that, right? It can mean several things. Yeah, it can definitely mean money, because let's not lie, everybody could probably use a little bit more of it. I mean, not everybody. Like, Jeff Bezos is fine, but, you know, most of us could probably use a couple of extra septums in our pocket. But it could also mean getting that perfect job, or moving up the ranks in a job with a promotion, or getting a raise. It can also just mean just having enough left over after bills and your necessities to do something nice for yourself or for others, even if that's just putting like a little extra towards debt payment that month. If you're somebody who works for yourself, you can use prosperity magic to draw in new customers, or ensure that the customers that you already have become return clients. Or maybe you're looking to start something new up and you just need the capital to start something that you've always dreamed of. And as with a lot of magic stuff, even if you're not into the spell aspect or the magic witchcrafty aspect of it, doing some prosperity rituals, even little small daily ones, can help focus your mind on your goals. And that's what it's all about, that and intention. And some of the small things I do every day, I've gotten in the habit of lighting a couple of different like prosperity incense, which some of them have the funniest names.
Yeah, like, I remember you read those to me. You got yeah. Like a pack of only prosperity incense.
Yeah, it's just the, what is it, HEM or whatever is the brand. And I meant to get like a variety pack, but I guess I wasn't paying that close of attention, because I get them and they're all things like gold rain, lucky showers, fucking, you know, silver bath or whatever. I don't know. But so I was like, you know what, whatever. I'm going to put these in my office. And anytime I'm doing something, I'm working on something, I'm going to light one up just to kind of bring in, to set the tone of, hey, look, I'm working hard on this. Maybe I'm compensated. You know what I mean? And that can be anything. That can be working at your job. Maybe it's not even necessarily getting money for working, but maybe it's just, I don't know, like maybe a bill company writes you and they're like, guess what? You don't have to pay this month. You know what I mean? Just little, I don't know why that would happen, but maybe it could. And with most, as with most things, once you do your spell, you do the work, a key factor in getting results from it is busting ass to get it. I personally believe that if you light the things and you say the words and then you go to bed for 3 days, in my opinion, the magic still works in some way. Like it's still kind of set on that path, but it might end up that you, like, you find a dime on the ground the next day or something. Mm. But if you light the things and you say the words and then you get out there and you work hard for it and you really say, yo, this is what I'm talking about, this is the energy I'm trying to create, this is what I want to happen, I think the energy that you invest is returned to you in that way. Mm-hmm. Another key part to any spellcraft, for me anyway, is gratitude work. After you do your spell, track what happens. This is something I'm new to, because I would do spells and I never bring offering or bring gifts or whatever to spirit, my spirit, you know, my ancestors, whoever I work with. I never bring them stuff and I'm like, hey, yo, you know, there's that promotion coming up. You know, maybe I could get that. That'd be cool. I don't like to do that. It doesn't feel too cool to me. What I like to do is just kind of continuously be thankful and be grateful of things. you know, and when good things happen, kind of put extra effort forth then. But after you do your spell work, track what happens and make note of good things that come your way. So maybe you do your prosperity spell and a check comes early or a raise happened, etc. Thank who you work with for those things. Deities, spirit, elements, whatever, right? Like, you wouldn't ask a friend for some help financially, and then when they spot you some cash, just like turn on your heel and walk away, right? Yeah, no. So thank your team. However you do it, thank your team. So there are lots of ways to bring in. I've got to stop starting my sentences with so.
I do it too.
I hate it. There are a lot of ways to bring monetary goodness into your life. There's recipes for soaps and oils. There's pre-made candles. There's sigils, intention words, herbs, stones. Pick your favorite and roll with it. It's not hard. Like, you can throw a rock and hit something outside and it's like good for prosperity. You know, I have a list of some of the most prevalent herbs and stones that people like to use for prosperity, and I feel like they're kind of common. And I want to start off with the herbs here. So what you can do with these, you can cook with them if, you know, they're edible. Hang them in your home. You can, you know, add to spell jars, carry with you, maybe put some in your wallet. You know, we've talked, what was it we talked about forever ago that it would be a little awkward if you just carried around and every time you took your wallet out, like this big root ball, was it?
Oh, yeah.
I forget what that was. But
what was that?
Shit, that's going to bother me.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Anyway, those things are things like allspice, nutmeg, cinnamon. You'll notice here that those are kind of very common around the holidays. Even something like a pre-made, you can get it from pretty much any store. I think you can get like the pumpkin pie spice mix that contains a lot of those things. So if you don't necessarily want to go and buy all of those different things, spend a lot of money on it, you can just get the pumpkin pie spice. And it has a lot of that. I also think that the holidays, that's a time when a lot of people are under financial strain. And I don't think it's a coincidence that those things are used widely at this time when everybody needs money and that they grow at this time and that it's popularized. And also for the same reason, Italian seasoning is great because it contains many money-drawing herbs as well, such as thyme, oregano, and basil. You can also use bay leaf, chamomile, clove, dill, and mint. Now, what I thought was really cool about chamomile is, or chamomile, however you feel like saying it. But something I saw I liked about that was that if you, say, have some chamomile tea before you go to bed, it's sort of like drawing in money while you sleep. So if you want to keep this constant rotation of, like, prosperity, whatever you need it for, throw you some chamomile, I don't know, under your pillow or something.
Oh,
crystals or stones. We have citrine, which I once referred to as a rock star for prosperity. And sometimes I still cringe about it in the shower.
It's a rock star.
God damn it. I hate that you also remember that. So that's fun.
I do.
There's pyrite, tiger's eye, aventurine, not adventurine, garnet, and labradorite. Those are some good choices if you're just kind of picking things off the shelf, maybe shelf. If you recall, a few episodes back, we talked about, it feels like a few episodes back, but I think it was way back. We talked about certain days being better for certain types of work, whether it's because of the, you know, it could be the planetary associations and the alignments, or it's the fact that a lot of people, if they're all doing it on this one day, it's kind of group intention and there's power in that, or it's maybe it's just simply to keep your schedule straight. Mm-hmm. But the best days to work money magic are on Wednesdays, listen here, for a small amount / quick return, and on Thursdays for longer working but higher yield spells, such as a large sum or a new avenue of income, while a Wednesday spell might be like, I won $10 on a lottery ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah. In money spells, it's crucial to be specific. Again, you do not want to run into that situation where your manifestation turns into the super vague scent, like the super vague thing. You got an extra penny with your change when you bought a soda, you know? And then the universe is kind of like, I feel like the universe is like, it didn't quite understand, and it's not doing it to be a dick. It's well chuffed. And it's like, mm-hmm. I gave them the money they asked for. And you're just kind of like, God damn it. Don't be afraid to call out specific numbers or even for specific things. Like, I need money for rent. Kind of something to say, look, I'm not looking for, I don't want this. You know, it's big. I need help right now, substantially. I want 10 new clients this month. That can be the main point of your spell, and it's specific enough to get the job done. Okay, I might take a little bit of a detour here. I'm going to try not to rant, because something that I have seen and I quite like is the use of shiny materials whenever you're making oils or candle spells or anything. I personally, just as a human being, I really like glitter. However, if there's anybody out there on Witch Talk, which I still think is... can be a very toxic place, so please just be careful. There's apparently this argument going on right now about whether or not you're a quote-unquote real witch if you use glitter in your spells, which I think I think is redonkulous. First of all, I don't like real witch as any kind of terminology, but...
Yeah,
that's not cool to me. However, I think it has perfectly good... I know my chair's squeaking. I'd like to apologize for that formally. I think there's a really good reason to use it, and the intention that you use it is especially good for money magic here. I saw someone on YouTube, I believe, who does this thing with her physical bills and her checks. Now, checks can get a little tricky because you don't want to, like, douse it in a material. However, anytime you have to, like, physically send money away, to kind of change it from an act of throwing money out into the world with no return... What did she say? She said she thinks of it as sending these bills back to gather friends to bring back to her, right? And I thought it was so cute. And the way she did this is she anointed them with this oil that she makes. It's her own money oil blend. And then she dresses them in a subtle way. Like, don't not get to spend your bills because somebody wouldn't take them because you covered them in wax and shit. But... she adds a little bit of shiny glitter powder or mica powder to her oils and adds just a little bit to the dollar and then sends them out to act like flyers, I guess. And they're all fun and they're pretty. And their job is to gather friends and to show them, hey, look, this is where the party is. You know, I want to show you guys what a rockin' time it is to be where I came from. And the idea is to kind of have it... attract in friends, I guess.
See, when you say friends, because mm-hmm. she's paying a bill, I just keep thinking it's supposed to attract more bills.
Oh, shit. No, don't put this on your bills, please. I mean bills, like dollar bills.
Oh.
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
I've really been trying to piece this together. That makes so much more sense.
I was really should.
Why would you want your bills to bring friends?
Hey, bills! Look at what a rockin' time I'm having. Your dollar bills, y'all. You can shape this to fit you. Like the kind of magic that you practice, what you need, really focus on making it yours and making it personal because finances and money are personal. So I have a ritual oil, ritual slash spell slash creation slash recipe.
Oh, we got Sean Connery.
Sean Connery, fuck! He's back. I was getting scared. He went away forever. As with any spell, you can... change certain ingredients out to fit yourself better. You may not like everything that I put into this. You will need a carrier oil of your choice. I'm always going to recommend the jojoba. Something shiny. Again, this can be a little bit of glitter. It can be some mica powder. It can be a little like a charm or something. It could even be like a really small coin. Really whatever glints and catches the eye of something. And the idea there is to be an attractant, right? Mm-hmm. I've heard of certain types of magic where if you want to get rid of something, you take something shiny and you kind of throw it away from you, maybe throw it into a river, throw it out of your property, and it's supposed to attract anything that has been attached to you and to kind of give it, get it out of your space, right?
I like that. I
do
really
too.
Like it a lot. It's just like, hey, go over there.
Yeah, it's like jingling keys in front of a baby or something. I don't know. But so anytime you're using something shiny, that's the idea behind it. It's an attractant. So you'll need that. You'll also need a little bit of green food coloring. An herb from the above list. My go-to is cinnamon and Italian seasoning for money magic. You'll need some of this herb for burning, and you'll need some of it for use in your actual bottle, so kind of half your pile up.
Okay.
You'll need a charcoal disc, a citrine crystal if you have one. I specifically point out or request citrine just because I know that that's safe to use. You know, some crystals can be harmed by putting them in anything kind of liquid, and some can be straight dangerous, like malachite. So please use citrine or like one of the quartz family if you can, if you're not really sure what your would other crystals react with water. You'll need a dark container. I like to use, you know, those beer bottles, like those fancy beer bottles that you can get that have the swivel, like the swivel top.
Yeah, those are the ones that exploded in my kitchen.
Yes, but don't put explosives in them. And let's see, and they're usually dark, and you can remove the label and things like that. And then you'll need a green candle, a white candle, bay leaf, pin, lighter, and a fire safe dish. So I know that's quite a bit of shit. But when you know, look it, get over it. So the first thing you're gonna do, open your space by burning the herbs that you chose on a charcoal disc. Light your white candle so that it may purify your intent. Light your green candle while you chant something. It doesn't have to be this, but what I have here is, may money find its way to me. Say this over and over again until you settle into the space. Really kind of breathe in the herbs that you're burning and just get in the zone. Once you've focused your intention and you feel ready, fill your bottle, your dark bottle, with your selected herbs, the citrine, a few drops of the food coloring, and your shiny substance. Lastly, pour in the oil and give it a super gentle shake or a tumble. Don't spill it everywhere because it'll be green and it'll be a pain in the butt to clean up. But kind of shake it to kind of activate everything, get it all marinated and get it all seeping into the oil. Then you're going to write your intention of prosperity onto your bay leaf and anoint it with your newly created oil. Hold the leaf in your hands and once again, chant or say something, or even just focus your intent. Again, mine is to chant, may money find its way to me. And whenever it feels right, whenever you feel just the moment, you can then burn the bay leaf over your fire safe dish, letting the smoke fill your area with your intention.
No.
Picture your life filled with the prosperity that you are doing the spell for. So feel that excitement, that gratitude, that joy, and feel the relief that that abundance would bring you. If you work with any spirits or any elements, if you called anyone in the beginning, now is the time to thank them and to close your space. And then you have your newly created oil. You can use this anytime that you want to anoint anything or dress candles with for the purpose of prosperity. Do not ingest it. And then don't use topically unless, again, you're sure everything in it is safe. And if you do plan on anointing it using it topically, like putting it in a bath or something, you may want to skip over the green food coloring. I won't, because it doesn't bother me. But so that's my little prosperity ritual. And, what does prosperity mean to everybody out there? You know? Tell me this. Tell me that.
Tell me now and tell me this.
Data.
Oh, that's sad.
That's so sad.
Well, fun. I like your little ritual. I think it's nice.
The water. Oh, man. The amount of tears I've shed over that song, it's not even funny.
Oh, what a sad song, man. Jeez, just mercilessly sad.
And don't you love the credit we're giving it?
Yeah, I know. Everyone goes, on. Ravastada.
Doesn't that sound great, guys?
Well, I have something that's going to make you feel better. I marked this earlier today, and I was like, I want to read this or something. I have a little bit of Cornelius Beekman for you.
Oh, my God. A little dessert of Cornelius Beekman. Mm-hmm. Hell yes.
And this is all about weddings, in particular, the wedding veil to start.
Oh, no.
Trailing clouds of glory, the wedding veil.
She was feeling verbose that day.
Oh, I've only just begun. The dreamlike mists of billowy tulle, voluminous, ethereal, the regal cascade of wondrous old lace, flattering tulle, lace-edged, exquisite lace.
Loves her some lace, man.
Oh my God, I just have to read you this. It keeps going and I don't know when it stops, okay? The regal cascade of wondrous old lace, flattering tulle, lace-edged, exquisite lace, gracefully draped over the tulle, lovely tinted sunrise clouds of bluish rose, or the short fingertip veil.
What is she
saying?
What is she talking?
She's having a stroke.
Code blue. Okay, so, like, I'm not gonna lie. About 90% of the time, I'm not quite sure what she's on about anyway, but that was particularly nonsensical.
It was unreal. I don't know.
I like how it's like the flattering tulle, a laced edge, wonderful lace draped over the tulle.
exquisite lace.
Oh, that was a treat.
So, or the short, quote, fingertip veil, worn back or over the face, whichever type the bride chooses, it should crown the wedding dress with an aura of loveliness and mystery.
The amount of time and attention that she gave to describe the first veil, and then the second one, she's like, or it could be this short veil. You clearly know which one she likes better.
This trashy fingertip veil. I suppose you could wear it if you want to.
This one is as lovely as sunset clouds on a blah, 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 or there's the short veil, period.
So delicate orange blossoms are usually given the exquisite duty of holding in place the wedding veil.
Everything's exquisite.
A group of tiny drooping blossoms over each ear. Or a slender bandeau or wreath of orange blossoms, or even a tiara of orange blossoms for the stately bride.
Okay.
The youthful pearl cap, the Juliet cap, the melon-shaded cap of tulle or lace, the cap smoothed across the forehead, and sometimes with a nun-like effect banded under the chin, disclosing only the face, a medieval headdress, a lace coronet or tiara. Any of these may be chosen from the fashion panorama of the present or the past.
Why does she do that? Why does she
know.
Do that?
She's the queen of a run-on sentence.
Oh, man.
But the type chosen must, of course, be of the same theme as the gown. I just have to go back and say that in all of that mess, the two words, medieval headdress, was in that list.
Okay.
As wondrously lovely as a wedding veil inevitably is, beauty is not its only mission, for fundamentally, it is the wedding veil that proclaims the standard of formality for the wedding.
God, barf.
When the bride plans to wear a wedding veil, she indicates that her wedding is to be formal. And when this significant detail is determined, all other details, to be consistent with this formality, assume a formal air. I feel like she's reaching here.
Hmm. I completely just zoned out and I heard the word formal like 8 times.
A million times. Especially is this true, of course, if the clothes of the groom and his attendants, appropriate formality will then be the standard of their clothes.
Okay.
The type of dress and the type of arrangement of the veil depend on the wishes of the bride and often on the fashion of the moment. Since most brides now prefer not to wear gloves, long-sleeved dresses are in fashion. Because you can't show your arm skin.
Look at that sexy elbow.
That wrist. With a satin dress, satin slippers are usually worn. But the slippers, either an opera pump or a strap pump, may be of crepe, soft kid, or moire. And her hose are of the sheerest beige or flesh colored.
The sheerest beige.
Then the something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue must be decided on. The style of the bride's bouquet is chosen according to the style of her bridal dress, and some years have certain favorites. There is a wide choice of white flowers for her bouquet. Lilies, lilies of the valley, camellias, white roses, gardenias, orchids, orange blossoms, asters, and sweet peas.
Jesus Christ.
Sometimes her bouquet is a shower bouquet, sometimes a colonial bouquet, sometimes a few lilies.
Oh, God, okay.
Some brides carry a white prayer book adorned with satin streamers tied with lilies of the valley.
That's kind of lit. I love that.
The bride decides about every detail of the costumes of her attendants. But each attendant pays for her own dress.
Oh.
You fucking bitches, buy your own shit. Fuck you.
I made you buy your own dress.
I know. You know what? I spent $20 on a dress at Target.
I see. That was my thinking. Oh, no.
The bride decides. Oh, yeah. The costumes of her attendants. The material and style of their dresses depend on the type of the bride's gown. The attendants' dresses are made alike. Usually all the bridesmaids are dressed in the same shade, but often the dress of the maid of honor is a shade that harmoniously contrasts with this shade.
That's the popularity, still done. That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was interesting. The popularity of certain shades varies from year to year. And from season to season.
No shit! God!
If the bride wishes her bridesmaids to be dressed in different shades of one color or in harmonizing shades, the dresses of the two bridesmaids who walk together should be of the same shade. Attendants' flowers are chosen to correspond with the bride's bouquet and to complement the dresses and to harmonize with the color scheme of the wedding. The attendants wear gloves if their sleeves are short. The gloves usually match the hat and slippers.
Stop saying slippers.
The bride's gift, this is the last part, and I love it. The bride's gift to her attendants may be a costly present if the bride is well-to-do, or it may be some modest remembrance if the bride has to make a careful budget. Brides often give their attendants gifts that can be worn the day of the wedding, and these, if possible, are usually monogrammed. Here are some suggestions.
No.
Bracelet.
Ouch.
Vanity case, wristwatch, jeweled clip with real or imitation stones.
Why necklace, even bother specifying then?
Jeweled hat ornament, evening bag, gold key ring.
Wow.
Gold key in key case.
To what?
Pair of buckles. Jewel case. Gold or silver enamel pencil and pin set.
What a slap in the face.
short gold keychain with gold tag for monogram. Gold bill clasp monogrammed. Traveling clock.
What is that?
And it needs to be gold, silver, enamel, or leather. And might I remind you that these are supposed to be things for the brides to wear that day. What is a traveling clock?
I gotta Google a traveling clock.
Is that a pocket watch? Can ladies wear pocket watches?
Traveling clock. Dude.
What?
It just looks like a whole ass clock.
Oh. Fitted overnight bag.
Hmm.
Folding comb in a gold or silver case. Ensemble of vanity case, cigarette case, and lighter. That's kind of slick, though.
I mean, you don't hate it. Everybody smokes.
The bride's photograph in her wedding gown, or a photograph of the bridal party in a crystal, silver, gold, or leather frame.
That's what I would do, man.
Yep.
Give everyone
a picture of me. Thank you for buying all this shit and spending all this money. So, and lastly, gold, silver, or jeweled lipstick case with a note. Sometimes the bride gives her attendants the hats or slippers or both to be worn at the wedding.
I feel like I've been put through a ringer.
I know. I feel like a wrung out dish rag.
Holy shit. What a tedious affair a wedding back then was.
Oh my God.
What a tedious affair.
And everyone was just watching for you to be, like, uncouth, you know?
Everyone could not wait until you fucked up so they could talk about it over frickin' sidecars with their friends.
Cribbage.
What is cribbage, man?
I don't know.
I love it. Thank you for that. That was a right treat.
Wow. She was feeling chuffed. Yeah, she was chuffed.
She was full of piss.
She maybe had a couple of glasses of sherry in her at that point.
Oh, and she's, you know, I just see her sitting there. She's, you know, I'm going to go write about a proper wedding.
The wedding veil.
Oh, she's got a way with words. If I hear anyone say slippers ever again, I'm going to freak out.
Yeah, I hate that.
Slippers.
I hate it. Slipper.
Also, I just think of, like, you know, those bunny head slippers. I just imagine this really elegant dress with this veil that looked like fucking Orange Sunset or whatever she said. And then she's got these fucking bunny slippers on under it.
She never ceases to amaze.
No. And you know what else never ceases to amaze?
Mm.
Either. Is our roll that beautiful...
I knew it.
Wedding footage. I don't have anything. Oh, okay. So this comes from Haley Dahl. And this isn't going to make sense, I think, to a lot of people out there, but it's titled, This is a Two-Part Review.
Oh.
And the review says, check your email for the second part.
Whoa.
I don't know if they want us to say, but it's a picture of a... It's like an old woman holding a gun. And it says, this is a stick up. Don't ever stop making this podcast.
That's amazing.
I love it so much. I've been laughing about this one for a very long time.
That is beautiful. Who left that review?
That is Haley Dahl.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Haley Dahl. Yes. Sorry, it was itchy.
It just sounded like a dog cough, you know, when they let those little bah!
Yeah.